This cassette tape contains Bible teaching regarding revelation and end time truth by David Ebal. The title of this message is The Feast of Tabernacles.
Let's have a prayer right now, will you? Our Father, in Jesus' name, we're a needy people and we need you. We need the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us right now. Lord, we pray for your perfect will as we look into your lesson tonight. We ask, Lord, that you will reveal your perfect truth to us, that we'll not take liberties with the Scripture, but the Scripture will be real and alive and quickened and even engrafted into each one of us. Now, Lord, we pray for eyes that see and ears that hear. Lord, as we look into your Word, we pray that you'll anoint it, that you'll make it so that we can understand it. Give us gifts of wisdom and knowledge and discerning of spirits. We pray, Lord, that you'll change us from what we are to what we ought to be, in Jesus' name, amen. The session tonight is on the tabernacle. This is the tabernacle feast. Lord willing, next week we'll take the tabernacle, both Moses' tabernacle and the tabernacle in John, but right now we want to talk about the feast. Tabernacles. That's a calendar. What day is today? October the what?
Four.
Well, let's see if you can figure out how to read my funny calendar. This here is September. This is October. Sunday, Monday, you got the idea across there. So that September the 20th is on a Monday. But also the month of Tishri, T-I-S-H-R-I, a Jewish year, month. The first of Tishri is on the 20th of September. Do you see how to read this?
Yeah.
And the second of Tishri is on the 21st of September. See how to read the numbers like this? In other words, September is on the top and Tishri is on the bottom. And this is October. And today happens to be the what?
Fourth.
And it just happens to be the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles today. Now, it started last night. And next Monday will be another holy convocation that we'll get that out of the Scripture. We'll see that this is a holy convocation on the 15th of Tishri and on the 22nd of Tishri. These 2 days are very important days in the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, have you heard of the Feast of Trumpets? Have you ever heard of the Feast of Trumpets? Well, let's see if you've heard of some of these words, like Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Rosh Hashanah?
Yeah.
That's the same thing as the Feast of Trumpets. And the Day of Atonement is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. That's this one here, this day. And then the first day of Tabernacles is right here, the 4th of October.
Rosh Hashanah was there.
First,
the trumpet?
No.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right.
Rosh
Hashanah.
Right? Is this day here, I'm sorry.
No.
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 No,
up on the 20th. No, the Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, no. There it is right there. It's the first.
That's the first day of the year.
That's right.
New Year.
Yeah. That's New Year. Rosh Hashanah. Now we come to Yom Kippur. Yeah. And then trumpets. Rosh Hashanah.
How come they had to celebrate 2 days for you? You going to bring that up?
Two New Year's.
It's Rosh Hashanah.
I don't have any idea.
Maybe you just need extra holiday. Well, when is the I know what it is. It's probably from the sundown of the first to sundown of the second. I think that's what it is. New Year's.
Well, when you figure, so that there's no misunderstanding now, you figure from Sunday night.
Oh, Sunday night.
From Sunday night is when you figure it. Starting Sunday night and all day Monday is the New Year. Now, today happens to be the Feast of Tabernacles, the first day, first full day of the Feast of Tabernacles. We're entering, in fact, we have entered the 16th of Tishri, and of course it'll be midnight before we hit the 5th of October. Tishri starts at sundown, you understand? Do you understand? The way the Jewish days start at sundown. Okay, so that, this is a pretty important day, and this whole week should be a very important week as the Feast of Tabernacles are celebrated. And we're going to study the Feast of Tabernacles tonight in detail, Lord willing. We'll also take something on trumpets and something on atonement, even a little on Passover and some on Pentecost as we get into the lesson. Now, are you still copying? I got to get going here. This is the one I want to bring up right now. The Greek words, in order to build up to the subject at hand, the Greek words are Jesus Christ and Pentecost. You know, when you say Jesus Christ, you're speaking Greek. Yeah, it's an anglicized form of the Greek. And when you use the word Pentecost, it's Greek. These are all Greek. Now, the English form of Jesus is the word what?
Savior.
And the English form of the word Christ is?
Anointed.
Well, if someone is anointed, do you understand what that means? It means they got the oil. The oil is flowing on them. In one place it calls them sons of oil. In Zechariah 4, and in this case, he is the anointed one. And, well, let's take Jesus some more. In Hebrew, the word Jesus is what? Joshua. And the word for Christ is?
Messiah.
The Messiah, the anointed one. The anointed one is the Messiah in Hebrew. Now, if we use the word Pentecost, which is the Greek, and we translate it to English 50 days, it gives us the feeling, or we assume that when we've achieved the Pentecostal experience or had Pentecost, it makes us think we've arrived, because we've counted our 50 days, and now we've gotten what we ought to get. We've come to the end. But if we would use the Hebrew word, shavuot, or first fruits, then first fruits would tell you we just started.
Amen.
Now, do you see what I'm driving at? In other words, in a general sense, and I know that I, for a long time, thought, well, man, I got it now. I've tarried for 10 years and never I got the baptism. Now I've got my Pentecost. I've arrived and I've got all that God is doing for us at the present day. But if I would realize that Pentecost is first fruit, then that means that I got to go much deeper. I've got to go further than the Pentecostal experience or blessing. Because if you think in the terms of first fruit, that immediately brings to your mind second fruit or harvest or a more full harvest. You see what I'm driving at? So I think that we would be better off if we use the word shavuot or first fruit rather than Pentecost. Because Pentecost makes us think in terms of waiting for the Lord in the upper room, waiting for the Lord for the promise given. I forget how the song goes, but the whole thought is that you present your empty earthen vessel clean through Jesus' precious blood, and so you get your Pentecostal experience, and now you're full and you got it all. This is a concept that, now I'm not saying that everybody teaches this, but it's kind of, you just kind of learn it. You just kind of fall into it. That Pentecost is all God has for us. But that's not so. It's the first fruit. It's the first fruit experience. Did you follow me? At least on this so far, all right? Let's see. Lord willing, this is what we're going to talk about tonight. First, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. We want to take an outline on the Feast of Tabernacles. We're going to get our introduction out of the New Testament. Then we're going to the Old Testament to get quite a few details about the various feasts, three feasts. Then, after we get this far into the lesson, then I'm going to use this schedule to show the Hebrew months. These are 12 months in the Hebrew year. These are the 12 months in the English year. And these are the three feasts, 1, 2, 3. The first feast is the Passover feast. It's in the month of Nisan or April, and it's on these days. You see how to read it? The second feast is Pentecost or first fruits in the month of June or Sivan. And the third feast is the Feast of Trumpets in October or Tishri. Now, this is something we've got to say. This column here may change with that column 1 or 2 months. You understand, each year it's never the same. In other words, Tishri is in October this year. Well, you got the idea at least. And this is the third feast, which is made up of three feasts. The first feast is made up of three feasts called Passover, Unleavened Bread, and the close of the Unleavened Bread feast, or what they call Holy Convocation. The second feast is Pentecost, or First Fruits, and the third feast is made up of three feasts, Trumpets, Atonement, and Tabernacles. Therefore, there are seven feasts here, but these seven here make up three. You see how that works? The first one's made out of three, the last one's made out of three. 3 and 3, 6 plus 1, 7. There's seven feasts or three feasts. So sometimes you'll hear us talk about the three feasts, sometimes you'll hear us talk about the seven feasts. Does that make a little sense to you as to why we talk that way? Okay.
Question.
Yeah, Brother Carl.
Somebody just told me the other day that the Jews actually celebrated about 12 feasts during the year. Do you know anything about that?
Well, there are two more feasts beside these. In the month of December, which is Kislev, they have what they call the Feast of Lights, Hanukkah. And then in Adar, or March, they have the feast that Esther told them to celebrate. I believe it was the 14th or 15th of Adar. However, I don't count those feasts, and the reason I don't count those is that they're not in the law. The Feast of Adar, which is Esther and Mordecai, started the feast. And, of course, that was a long time after all these three here started. And also this feast here, the Feast of Dedication, well, that was only the Maccabees, see, so that was fairly recent. You know, I mean, within a couple thousand years. Fairly recent. But that's why I don't count those others.
Thank you.
And then, in addition, after that, Lord willing, we're going to take a breakdown, three different sections, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and God, and see how these, all these Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacle, Spirit, Soul, Body, so forth, all these fit a pattern. There's a tremendous pattern here. And we're not finished. There's lots of room down here at the bottom of the chart that we're still working on these patterns of threes. And in a minute, Lord willing, you'll see why we're talking right now, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. We're looking at the second line of this one. And this goes on and on and on. Patterns of threes. The Lord willing, we'll be able to put that all together. Okay? Now, let's start in with the outline. Okay. I guess you can see it all. Wanted to start out with John 13:1. In John 13:1, Jesus recognized something very important. And the same thought is given in Acts, but we'll pick it up in John first. John 13:1. Now this is the first feast of the Jewish year, the Feast of Passover. And in this feast, 13:1, John, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Calling your attention to the fact that Jesus knew his hour was come. You see that? In 13:1, his hour was come. How did Jesus know that his hour had come? Because what? It was the Passover. Who is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? Tell me his name. Jesus Christ, that Passover Lamb. All right, let's see if this is making any sense to you now. Jesus, right under Jesus we put Passover. Do you see how that works? Why? Because Jesus is always connected with Passover. The blood of the Lamb spilt was on the feast of Passover. So then, Jesus knew his time had come because the Passover feast had come. In other words, God doesn't do things out of order or out of time. And so it was that the crucifixion took place during the feast of Passover. After all, it's the Lamb of God. And during the feast of Passover is when they slayed the lamb. And so, Jesus was slain during the feast of Passover. Not by accident, but because from the foundation of the world, from before the foundations, these things had been already figured out. And now I'm convinced that God is not haphazard, not sloppy, and I'm convinced that everything happens exactly according to his plan right on the day. I mean, right on the dot. I'm convinced that everything happens. For instance, in the fullness of time, she brought forth. Mary brought forth. I don't believe she brought forth a day too soon or a day too late, but there was a right cycle or period of time, and then she brought forth her firstborn son. See what I'm driving at? It was a fullness of time. And I'm convinced that Jesus was crucified during the Passover feast, not by accident, but because he had to, you know, the Passover was a type and a shadow of the real cross, the real Lamb of God. So the Passover, Old Testament Passover feast, was a shadow of what was really to occur, and has occurred already in our lives, 2,000 years ago. Do you see what I'm driving at? The importance of this. Okay, then go to Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and we'll see the next feast of the Jewish year. In Acts 2:1, do you remember what the next feast is? After Passover is what?
Pentecost.
We'll look in 2:1. Acts 2:1. You got it? And when the day of Pentecost was what?
Fully come.
Not halfway come, and it wasn't the day after the day of Pentecost. But it was when the day of Pentecost was what?
Fully
come. Then they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, in other words, Pentecost had to fully come before the Holy Spirit came. Now, the Holy Spirit in the next, you see what I'm driving at? Is likened unto the feast of First Fruits or Pentecost. Jesus, the parallel is Passover. Holy Spirit, the parallel is
Pentecost.
Well, that leaves one part of the Godhead left in the third feast, Tabernacles. And we'll get to that in a moment. At least you're, Lord willing, you're following what I'm trying to get at here. Okay, now, three times a year, and I think this is very, very important because he's told us this over and over and over again. Three times a year, you have to appear before God. Or, if I can say it another way, three times during a period of time, you have to appear before God. There are three major things that must take place in your life. Three times we're told that you're to appear before God. There are three things that have to happen to you You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in your body, right? Three things must take place in your life to make you full and complete. Three times a year, according here, and we're going to get these scriptures in a minute to prove it, everyone had to appear before God. Your spirit, your soul, and your what?
Body
have to be changed. Jesus Christ at the Passover changed your spirit. The Holy Ghost at Pentecost entered your mind-soul realm. God at Tabernacles will change your body. Three times you've got to appear before the Lord. We'll get these scriptures now out of Deuteronomy 16:16. And we'll go back here for a moment in the Old Testament now. What I was trying to prove through the introduction was, that everything happens on an exact time frame, an exact cycle. And these things are not by accident that these happen this way. Now, I don't know, but it's quite possible that this would be the year, and this would be the feast for God Himself to change our bodies, starting today.
That's why he's telling me to wait.
This could easily be. Now, past tense, it's already done. Jesus has entered the heart. We're saved. Present tense, the Holy Ghost is trying to change our mind. That's the soul salvation. We're looking forward to the time when God will enter the physical body. The physical body will be raised by that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. But it also says, of course, that it was God who sent the Holy Spirit in the first place, for He gave the command, the Holy Spirit immediately moved. Now, I'm not going to get too technical on separating the Godhead, because I can't. In fact, the Godhead is called a mystery. And I can't possibly try to figure out the Godhead. But all I know is that God in the form of the Father, and God in the form of the Son, and God in the form of the Holy Spirit. And if I use the wrong words on you tonight, then instead of getting mad at me, turn them to the right words. In other words, maybe I didn't go to the right school or something like that, or read the right quarterly as the one you've been reading. So change my words to the words you want to hear. In other words, if you're a oneness or Jesus only person, why then take the words that I'm going to say, because I was raised in a Trinity background. Then you take these words and apply them the way that your church does. Deuteronomy 16:16, please. You got it? Three times a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. In the feast of unleavened bread, now that unleavened bread is the Passover, and in the feast of weeks, that's the second one, now that feast of weeks, we'll find out more about it, but it's Pentecost. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, that's the third one, that's the one we think the church is coming into very shortly. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Three times a year shall your males appear before the Lord. Once at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You following me? Once at First Fruits. Once at Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles. Now, we're going to also find some other scriptures in the Old Testament that break these feasts down in more detail. But here's one that just talks about three particular feasts. Passover, Pentecost, or First Fruits, and finally, Tabernacles. Three times. Now, if you have been saved, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have gone through your Passover experience. You've had that symbolic Passover feast. The blood of the Lamb has been applied. You see what I'm talking about? The sin or the death angel has passed over you, and you're saved. We call that salvation. This is a salvation experience. Next, we come and tarry or wait for the Holy Spirit to take us to the Pentecostal experience. And in the realm of Pentecost, that's the second major event that takes place in a Christian's life. This is for the soul. The first event, Jesus, Passover, is for the spirit. The second event, Holy Spirit, is in the soul realm, mind realm. The Holy Spirit takes the Word, the Bible, engrafts it into the soul, mind, intellect, emotion, will, or I like attitude best. So then the Holy Spirit is to take care of our minds, take over our minds. Now, in the realm of the mind, notice that the mind, what a man, as a man thinks, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the man speaks. Now, when the Holy Spirit takes over the mind, he bypasses the mind. The voice comes out and articulates and usually comes out with a different language or tongue. This is a soul bypassing or soul perfecting experience. But it's only the first. Yes, Brother Carl.
Which one did you relate to attitudes?
Soul.
I think the mind and attitudes and what else?
Emotion, intellect, and will. These are all mind qualities. They're all qualities that are up here in your cranium. And, however, they're all slightly different. That's also important. Because, for instance, intellect is only part of the soul. For your IQ, maybe you got an IQ of 100, maybe your IQ is 75, maybe it's 125, I don't know, but that's part of your soul realm. But another part of your soul realm is your experiences. Where you've been, what you've done, what kind of job, you know, who you're married to. All those things are part of your soul because they develop whether you got a hot temper or a slow fuse. And, you know, all those kind of things are also up here in the mind. And this is all soulish. This is a soulish realm. And, of course, really the Holy Spirit is trying to overcome the soulish realm.
For the second part of this message by David E. Ball entitled The Feast of Tabernacles, please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.